Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's show, it's a crossover with Lindsey Crosby of Locked On MLB Prospects. Obviously, we'll be talking about Yankees prospects, so let's just get into it. Next on Locked On Yankees.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Yankee fans. It's Thursday, January 27th, and as I said, it's a crossover event with Lindsey Crosby of Locked On MLB Prospects. We'll be talking about all of the prospects you need to know about, and Yankee fans are pretty up on their prospects, so you'll find most of these names familiar, although there may be a few at the end that you're not familiar with that you may have to keep an eye out for. So Lindsey tells you all about that. Before we get into it, you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. You can subscribe to us on YouTube, and you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So let's get right into it. Here is my conversation with Lindsey Crosby of Locked On MLB Prospects.
Oh, how you doing, Stacey?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well. I feel like I'm talking a lot louder than you. So it's always a challenge to get the levels right. And just, yeah. I have irrational enthusiasm when it comes to prospects. And when we talked about doing this crossover, I know that you were really excited to hear about some of the top guys in the system, but particularly some of the position players. And so how much have you talked about shortstop Anthony Volpe? Am I saying it right? Is it Volpe?
Yes, Volpe. Okay. I have not actually spoken too much about him. I joke about this all the time, but, you know, I'm an older Yankee fan. I've been burned by prospects in the past. Mm. You know, I still remember Brian Taylor. We're going back a long time. I think I was in high school when that happened. And I try not to get too attached to these guys. You know, I keep track of what they do, and I know that they're doing well. You know, Volpe broke out in a big way this year. So I know enough about the minor league players, but I like to have people like you tell me about them so that I can tell my listeners and viewers about them.
Yeah. And that's, you touched on the big thing that, like, when I was doing my notes and getting ready for this, is I noticed a lot of these guys had a big breakout in 2021. A lot of players took massive jumps in development, and stick around for segment three. I think we're going to have some great thoughts about that, but Volpe, obviously, you know, the number one prospect according to Baseball America in your system, 5'11", 180, and he was a high school draftee first round in 2019. And what's really interesting about him is he's got an absolutely fantastic combination of skills and instincts and makeup. And he really looks like the kind of guy who's going to be at the top of the lineup, a staple up there for a good long time in New York. And when you look at some of the deeper analysis from some of the different sites, whether it's Baseball Prospectus, Baseball America, Prospects, you know, all that kind of stuff. The question is about next year, is he going to be the number one overall prospect in all of minor league baseball? Like, that's the level with which they have him. And if you think about some of the previous number one overalls, you think of, you know, Bryce Harper, you think of Billy Rutschman right now, you think of Mark Teixeira, somebody who a Yankees fan would be familiar with. He was a number one overall prospect as a third baseman in the Rangers organization. So having that kind of pedigree is a great thing. But you touched on it. He broke out last year. It's the first real year we got to see him play.
True.
He lost rookie ball in 2019 to mono, which is, okay, it happens to everybody. I guess it makes sense to happen to a prep kid there.
Yeah.
And then obviously canceled the season in 2020. But last year he was going between low A and high A, hit .294 with 27 home runs and 33 stolen bases in 109 games. Just fantastic numbers. And when you look at him offensively, the thing that I love is his at-bats are very high quality. I mean, he's not afraid of elite velocity. He's not afraid of high spin. He excels at keeping the at-bat alive. He can foul stuff off, and he just sits and waits for something that he can drive, and then he can drive it to all fields. And this kind of gets back into something the Yankees are doing as a whole, but there's this theme, and you may have heard some of it. It's hit strikes hard.
Right.
They're trying to teach their guys plate discipline and then also teach their guys about, you know, seizing your opportunity and hitting. And it's that tunneling thing that we hear so much about right now because of the talk about Barry Bonds. Mm-hmm. And so he does that very well. He's a very good runner. You can see 33 stolen bases, only 9 caught stealing in 109 games. Defensively, I think that's where, if you have any question about Anthony Volpe, I think that's where the question comes up. He has good instincts and he's fundamentally sound in the field, you know, solid hands, solid footwork. But his arm, it's accurate and it's on time, but it's strength-wise, I would say just below average strength. And so that, you know, between that and his speed, his range comes out fringe to average. And so the question, for me at least, is can he stick at shortstop or does he eventually end up at second? But let's not forget, he's here for offense. He's got the best strike zone discipline in your system. He's got the best ability to hit for average in the entire system. And offensively just looks like he's going to be an absolute star for you guys for quite some time.
Let's hope so.
Exactly. That's one of those things, you know, that would be nice. Let's hope it works out.
Yes.
And then if he had to move to second, does that concern you? Do you hear, you know, he could be number one overall prospect and he might not stick it short? Like, what do you think about something like that?
Well, I just think about how the back and forth of Gleyber Torres going from second to short, back to short, second, like they can't figure out where to put him. And, you know, I would like to see Volpe come up. And if he has to be put at second base, I hope that by the time he's up, there's a way for the Yankees to arrange the infield where he can play second and it doesn't disrupt a lot of things. But, you know, if he's playing well enough to play at the major league level, then you do what you need to do to help him play.
That's to fit him in, exactly. Yeah. And you've probably got 2 years before he's in New York. I mean, he just finished A ball last year. And so they have some different stuff going on in A ball as far as automated balls and strikes, and they have it a little bit easier to steal. So I'm curious, do his stolen base numbers normalize a bit when he's out of that environment? You know, they limit how many pickoff throws you can make.
Right.
And so it's a little bit different for stealing there. That's a good thing to look at. I think I have more questions than a lot of other people about Volpe. And it's not that I don't think he's a great prospect. I just want to see a little bit more of some of these things that we didn't know were coming. We didn't know he would steal 33 bases. You know, we didn't know he would hit, 27 home runs. So I just want to see a little bit more of it before I can say he's the number one overall prospect. But either way, I think the floor they're looking at for him is an everyday contributor for 10 years. And you would take that in a heartbeat.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And whether it's at short or second, I mean, either one, you're happy. And if it's second, it's because the number two guy in your system, shortstop Oswald Peraza, is going to move him off of short. So 5'11", 186, he's a 2016 international free agent. And I think he's probably going to debut this year as a shortstop, provided he shows that he can handle major league pitching. He's probably the best defensive infielder in your system. That's the best infield arm in the system. And we saw 2019, he was in low A, did well, and then he just sped through the system last year. Went all the way through, ended up hitting 297, 18 home runs, 38 stolen bases in 115 games. So kind of a similar profile to Volpe, but the big change, he's another guy made a big change last year. And the big change he made was he stopped hitting so many hard grounders and he put the ball in the air. So he kind of retooled his swing, his launch angle. And so he went from hitting lots of hard grounders to lots of doubles and home runs. But I think he's still a little vulnerable to those above average breaking pitches. He did get better at them as the season went on, but offensively, that's the question. Can he get better against breaking pitches and can he lay off of balls out of the zone, you know, the slider down and away, things like that. But defensively, I think he's going to stick at shortstop. He's one of those guys that he's not the most athletic, but he's got above average speed. He's got good instincts, good reaction time. So he has all of the components together to play short. He's not that super twitchy athlete that it's going to come naturally to, but he's going to make all the plays you need him to make. And so I think there's a good chance at some point in time in 22, whether it's May, whether it's July, at some point in time, you will see Peraza playing shortstop for the New York Yankees, which I kind of think is every kid's dream growing up, is to put on the pinstripes and play for the Yankees.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. The two of them, they're not huge guys. They're more like not old school, but, you know, baseball players have gotten bigger over the years. And, you know, when Jeter first came up and A-Rod and Nomar, and you saw these shortstops who were 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and it was kind of like, whoa, because you thought back to the days where, you know, Phil Rizzuto was in the infield for the Yankees and he was teeny tiny. And these two guys, you know, they're around 5'10", 5'11". They're not overly big and they're not, you know, built too big, unlike the next guy we're going to discuss, who's not very tall, but very big.
Very
and,
big.
And very young.
Yes, very big, very young. Great lead. And number three prospect, outfielder Jasson Domínguez. We talked about him 2 weeks ago when we talked about the Rachel Balcovec hire, but 5'10", 210 out of the Dominican in 2019. And he has the ceiling of an MLB regular, but we've got some questions about his defensive positioning, some questions about his power. You know, obviously completely lost a 2020 season like everybody else did. And went to low A last year at 18, held his own, looked pretty good, and they actually selected him for the Futures game, which is a pretty prominent achievement for a guy out of low A. 56 games, hit .252 with 5 home runs, and he really seemed to struggle a bit with some the professional velocity and breaking pitches. I mean, when he hits the ball, he's hitting the ball really well. His average exit velo was 86. His max was 111. So he can smack a ball. He can hit a strike pretty hard.
Yeah.
And he got better at it as the season progressed. But I think part of the question there is we saw a big, and you alluded to it, we saw a big physical transformation. He thickened up, let's put it that way. He thickened up considerably from when he was signed. And so his speed has kind of gone from like plus to average.
Right.
I mean, he's slowed down a bit as he put on some weight. And his arm is, I think, average. And so you look at him for right field versus left. Left field's usually your weakest outfield arm, but he's got good instincts defensively. He's fundamentally sound, but when you put on that weight, you would assume with the weight comes muscle and comes power. And we just haven't really seen that yet. So I think I'd like to see him develop a little more physically, continue to do that, and get comfortable with the velocity and the spin, so that hopefully that power can manifest. And I think that's really going to kind of decide what is his ceiling. Does he make, you know, how much can he contribute in New York as a corner outfielder who doesn't hit for power? I think that's the question, is can he get that tool as part of his toolbox? And he's added the weight where he should be able to.
Yeah. And he's still really young. So he has the time to, you know, we're not going to see him that soon.
He's 19 years old. It's going to be, I'd say, probably 3 to 4 years on a normal time pace to get Jasson Domínguez in New York. And this season, I think it's going to be big for him. He's probably going to go back through A-ball again, just to kind of see how that goes. And that's typical of a young guy coming out of the Dominican like that. He actually probably would not have spent an entire year in low A in his second year in the system. He probably would have come up for rookie ball in the complex league. So he's a little advanced as far as placement in the system, but I think that's kind of where he needs to be. But for him, the whole thing is this upcoming year is kind of a new start, and it's a chance for him to make some changes. If your change you want to make is getting fit, eating healthier, I got to tell you about Built Bars. Built Bar is it's the easiest way to stick to your New Year's resolution. Built Bars are 100% real chocolate, and these 130 calories, 17 grams of protein. So the Built Bar is better for you than a candy bar. So what I would encourage Jasson Domínguez to do is to go to all of my stashes of candy, snacks, you know, whether it's your office, your car, your workout bag, all of that. Replace what you have there, replace your candy bars with Built Bars. You get plenty of protein, still 100% real chocolate, and there's tons of flavors. Stacey Consulius, what is your favorite flavor of Built Bar?
Mint brownie. I say it all the time. My listeners are probably sick of me saying it, but I have had listeners send me messages saying they've now ordered Built Bars and they like them as much as I do. So yeah, mint brownie.
I'm a peanut butter brownie guy. That's my favorite.
That's a good one.
I was on the website just the other day and looking at some of the rotating flavors they have. Mm-hmm. And they have a churro flavor.
Yes.
So very intrigued in that. So go check out all of the regular flavors and the limited time flavors at built.com. While you're there, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order at built.com. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order at built.com. Okay, so talk to some position players. I do kind of want to bring up some of the pitchers as well. Mm-hmm. I think there's some great pitchers in this Yankees system, and I'm kind of curious to see whether you think you would need any of these guys. Number four, if it's a pitcher, we need him. Yeah. Number four prospect in your system, right-handed pitcher, Luis Gil, 6'2", 185, international free agent in 2014. And then you got him in 2018 from the Twins in a trade.
Yeah.
I think that his outlook is probably mid-rotation starter if he can develop a third pitch.
Yeah.
And if not, he's going to be a reliever. And the way that he is, he could probably contribute right now for you out of the bullpen. But I think obviously a starter is a little more valuable. He made six starts last year, went 1-1, 3.07 ERA.
I was at one of them.
There you go. See,
yeah, I saw him pitch against Seattle. Yeah.
In-person scouting report. Did he win that game? I'm trying to remember.
He did not. But when he had a really bad, not bad, he had a first inning in which he was on the ropes and he had a lot of pitches. And then he ended up pitching nearly six innings because it looked like one of those games where he could have been knocked out in the second inning. And it was one of those games where the offense didn't do anything and Seattle won 2-0. So he looked fine. You know,
he
wasn't. Yes. I mean, he really fought his way through that start to make it to five full innings. And, you know, I saw something when I was watching. I was like, wow, that's a gutty performance from him coming out and doing that. And there was that other game that he pitched where did he have to replace Cole? Like he stepped in at the last second to replace Cole and he did a really good job. And, you know, so far I like what I see from him. But yeah, I would see mid rotation if that. And if not, bullpen. You know, the Yankees love doing that. So
And I think the bullpen thing is so easy to project because his fastball is really good. I mean, he's got a lively fastball. It sits 96. He can hit 99 with it. It doesn't move a ton, but when you've got really good velocity, you can kind of get away with some of that. And to go with that, he's got a mid-80s slider, and it moves enough where it has a good profile when it comes to play as far as the tunneling with the fastball. If he can develop the changeup, I think that's the question, because the changeup is low 90s, not a lot of difference between it and the fastball.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's one of my favorite things about pitching and watching pitchers with different arsenals and seeing guys who can go from having a 98, 99 mile an hour fastball and then having a changeup that's like 84, but where it comes out of the hand where it doesn't look too different and it fools people. Like that's a cool thing to have. Yeah.
Yeah. And his changeup is more of just a slower fastball. I mean, it comes in the low 90s, doesn't move a lot, which you kind of want it to do. And so if he can harness that, he's got the frame to throw a lot of innings, throw a lot of pitches. I mean, he would be a good mid-rotation starter. He just needs to develop that and he needs to learn to hit his spots more consistently. And, you know, you mentioned the big arsenal. I think you'll like the next guy, number six pitcher, Hayden Wesneski. Is that right?
I'm not Wesneski? Sure how to say it.
Let's go with, I'm going to assume that's right.
Okay.
So 6'3", 210. He was a 2019 draft pick out of Sam Houston State. I think it was like a sixth round pick. And he profiles as a number four or five starter, which you love out of a sixth round pick. That's a good deal.
Sure.
He lost his COVID year. Obviously, you know, he was drafted right after college, lost that whole year development. He spent a lot of time doing physical training. And so he really put in he put on weight, he put on good weight, and it really shows in his pitches. And then last year went from high A to triple A, another guy who
kind of like
big jump in that 1 year. And so he's got a huge pitching arsenal. His fastball is a four seamer, sits mid 90s, it reaches 99. And what I love on it is it has a lot of late movement to it. So it's one of those where you might commit to the fastball and be able to catch up with the speed, but at the last second it moves on you. So it's a very, very good pitch. His slider's average. I mean, it's nothing special. It doesn't break as much, but the action, it's very much a sweep, like a hard sweep versus one that just kind of leisurely drifts to the side. I'd rather it move dramatically than, you know, move a lot, but move slowly. So you like that. Curveball. very much a plush pitch. It has a horizontal break. It has a vertical break. Hmm. It's kind of like a power slurve. I mean, it's a really okay. unique kind of pitch, but yeah. it's really good. One of the better curveballs in the system. He has a changeup. You'll like this. Low 80s. It's kind of average as far as movement, but it comes out of the same release point as the fastball. He can disguise it really well. And then he has a cutter. And I don't know where he got it from. It's kind of new. Haven't really seen a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But that's something where, I mean, that's five pitches that are all, you know, that are four that are at least average, if not better. Two that are very good in the curveball and the fastball. If that cutter looks pretty decent, if he can throw it from strikes, he's very confident with all of these pitches. He's not scared to throw any pitch in any count. And I love that.
Yeah,
he just has to get a little more accurate with it.
Sure.
Yeah. And so if he can be more consistent in his delivery, because the fastball and the changeup look exactly the same, but he's not always consistent with the release point and the arm slot on the slider or the curveball. So if he can kind of get all that in together, a lot of the projections have him as a 4 or 5 starter. I think if everything clicks, he can probably be a number 3 guy. But at the very least, you're looking at a number 4 or 5 starter who, same thing, big build, can throw a lot of innings in New York. And I'm sure you would probably love to get that.
Yes. Yes, we all would.
definitely need it. It's one of those things that, like, you need this in your rotation. Like, you need these weapons in your rotation. Kind of makes me think about the next guy who you're going to see this year, I'm pretty sure. Number 9 pitcher in your system, Luis Medina, 6'3", 195. He was one of those 2015 guys out of the Dominican. And his stuff, also electric. Theme that I'm noticing for the Yankees system is all of the pitchers are kind of filthy. I mean, they're all very good athletes. They all have very great physical traits. They just have to work on harnessing these a little bit. He's actually already on your 40-man.
Right.
So that's why I think you'll probably see him this year, just because simply you had to protect him from the Rule 5 draft. So at this point, it all it takes is an option to bring him up and try him out. Amazing stuff. He was a little inconsistent until late in 2019. Then his control went from awful to iffy. He had 11 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he had 5 walks per 9 innings. So you can kind of see the good and the bad. But again, the stuff is really good. The fastball is upper 90s. It's been clocked at 103. Aroldis Chapman levels of speed. I mean, elite speed. You can't teach that.
Yeah.
His curveball is one of those very abrupt 12-6 curveballs. He gets a lot of swings and misses off of it. It's a separator pitch. Same thing as Hayden Wesneski. Very, very good curveball. You love to see it. And then his changeup doesn't move a ton, kind of a flaw that I'm noticing with a lot of these young guys you guys have, but the separation and velocity from the fastball is really prominent, and because it's disguised really well and he's confident with it, he can get lots of strikes on that. He can get guys out with it. So 3-pitch mix, he just needs to be more consistent, have a little more control with it.
Yeah.
And I think that you'll see him start off in AAA. And if he looks decent, I'd expect him to be in New York by May, hopefully bolstering this rotation a bit and getting guys out.
It needs bolstering. Yes.
I mean, he's got all the confidence in the world. He knows that he can do it. It's just a matter of, yeah, exactly. I mean, he has that mentality you want from that starting pitcher who's like angry that you dared try to come up to bat against him.
Yeah.
It's great makeup. Mm-hmm. You just need him to actually execute these pitches and do it consistently. And I think that that's something you're probably going to get in the new year of him as a minor league prospect. But speaking of the new year, BetOnline wants to wish you a happy new betting year, because BetOnline is the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. Now, I don't know, being in New York, I don't know if you have a rooting interest in the playoffs. The Bills were in over the weekend. But how did you feel about the weekend of games that we had?
It was insane. It was the best weekend the NFL has ever had game-wise. Every game was, you know, you're at the edge of your seat sort of thing. I was pulling for the Bills because, you know, even though it's Buffalo and they're basically like Cleveland, it's New York. Or they're basically like Canada up in Buffalo. But I was rooting for Buffalo. I kind of felt bad for them. But now I'm pulling for the Bengals because they haven't done anything since I was in high school. It's a long time, so.
Yeah, I want to see Joe Burrow do this. I mean... It's been a really exciting story, but that's one of those things where folks who don't have a team in this fight, you know, who don't have one of these four teams this weekend who they're rooting for, if you want a reason to root for the games, go to BetOnline. They have a, you know, with their new updated desktop and mobile website, you can check out everything. They have a lot of amazing offers in 2022. So there's a 50% welcome bonus for promo code Locked On to get started. And whether it's football, which, you know, we're talking about, we love, obviously, but there's basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC. You can wager on any of those sports. So BetOnline, promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus, because BetOnline is where the game starts. And then, all right, so talk position players, talked pitchers. There is a guy that I didn't mention in the position players, but I kind of want to come back and talk to him. We briefly touched on him 2 weeks ago when you and I discussed the Rachel Balcovec hire again, but Austin Wells, the first rounder in 2020 out of Arizona, the catcher. Really polarizing prospect as far as the outlook people have. And I've noticed there's a big difference, guys in the system to people outside of the system, what they think about him. And the questions are obviously, where is he going to play? Defensively, they don't think he's going to stick at center field. I'm sorry, at catcher. And this is guys, these are people outside of the Yankee system, don't think he'll stick at catcher. He has the athleticism to play first base, maybe left field. But the issue with catching is he struggles to block pitches well. He's got a significantly below average arm. And he's mitigated that somewhat by having a quick release and a decent pop time. But they think he's going to move to a corner spot, whether it's left field or first base. But he's here to hit the ball. And the kid can hit the dang ball. So the Yankees actually drafted him out of high school in 2018. He went to college instead. So they took him again in 2020. Lost his final season. Obviously lost the 2020 season to the pandemic. But 2021, he absolutely crushed it. 103 games, hit .264, 16 homers, 16 stolen bases, which is a lot for a catcher.
Yeah.
And the thing is, his swing is one of those really easy swings that's going to age well. He makes quality contact. He hits strikes hard to all fields, and he manages the strike zone really well. So he's good at delineating strikes from balls. And I feel like that's something a catcher should be really good at. And I'm surprised more of them are not. But I'm guessing it's the change in perspective from crouching behind the plate to standing in the box.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he does need to be more aggressive at the plate. And then he just has to kind of figure out defensively where he's going to go. And this kind of gets me back to some of the organizational philosophies that the Yankees have in the minors. And I've said it now 5 times in the show, cause I love it. But on offense, and we've seen this with Volpe most prominently, is hit strikes hard. The organization's really worked on pitch recognition, really worked on strike zone discipline, and just quality contact of these pitches coming in. And then defensively, it's a lot of, you know, making sure that guys are fundamentally sound for their position and working to mitigate around any weaknesses they may have. And so like Volpe, he's a shortstop, he's playing shortstop, he's cross training at second. And that's something where they're saying, we acknowledge that his weakness is his arm and a bit of his range. And so we may have to move him to second base. Same thing, you know, same thing with Austin, is great hitting catcher, but not a great catcher. And so, you know, we're trying to get him technically sound to see if that can be enough to let him stay at that position, or does he have to move? But he's there for offense. And then just, I guess, overall for the system, I think you guys probably have the third best system in the division. And most people wouldn't be happy with that, but you have to understand you're in the same division as the Rays and the Orioles.
Right.
And yeah. I mean, the Rays and Orioles just, I mean, the Orioles obviously have not been good. And so they have a lot, they've picked really high a lot of times. The Rays just have an insane amount of talent. And fun fact, the Rays minor league system last year actually had the most successful year in minor league history, as far as the entire top to bottom organization winning percentage and making minor league playoffs and championships. The Ray system is one of the best in baseball. And so be third in the American League East is probably second best system in any other division in baseball.
Yeah.
But I think a big part of the reason why the system is so good is so many guys took big leaps in 2021 that you've got quality depth all around the diamond. And when we're looking at strength of a system, we're kind of looking top to bottom. All positions, do you have guys for everything? So like the Braves, for instance, the Braves don't grade out that well depth of the system because the corner infield spots, almost no one there. The outfields, they have a couple guys, but not enough. They have too many guys at catcher, and then not enough guys at shortstop and second base. So like, they have decent talent, but the depth isn't there. The Yankees have it all the way through every position. And something that I've noticed is during the pandemic, there was a big focus on remote instruction. The Yankees actually like made sure that everybody had connections to the coaches, to the development teams. They had customized workout plans and different things to work on from home. And you can see those results in last year's minor league stats and just kind of see some of the jumps these guys made. And I think that this kind of goes back to the culture that the Yankees are instituting. A lot of what I've noticed, a lot of the hires, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, but the Rachel Balcovec hire is the biggest one here, is teachers in the system and folks who can translate, not only literally translate languages, Rachel Balcovec speaks fluent Spanish, but can translate a lot of the science behind hitting or playing a position or pitching, translate the science into on-field technique and teaching guys how to do things the right way to make their deliveries when they're pitching consistent and repeatable and low impact, can make their swings compact and without extraneous parts. And so I think having that kind of culture of, we're going to teach you how to be the best, or how to take what you do and do it as well as possible, do it as efficiently as possible, as safely as possible, as consistently as possible, is an interesting way to set up a system. And I'm excited to see how it pays off in 2022.
I am too, actually. I'm probably going to pay more attention now that I know more about these guys. Just knowing how close some of them are and, because I'm going to have to be up on everything when they come up. I am kind of excited, cautiously excited.
Cautiously.
Because as I said, we've been burned a lot, but we've also not been burned. Recent years, things have worked out with players who have come up and stuff. So it's just, I have a long memory.
Well, let me give you just a few names of people that you may see some of them this year, you may not, but just some of the less heralded prospects who have stood out quite a bit. Like the guy that I think of is Esteban Florial.
Oh, sure.
His bat really came on in AAA last year. He's probably the fastest person in the system, probably the best arm. He's got an absolute cannon in center field. And so he's a guy, depending on what the outfield looks like. Obviously, you have some monsters out there in Judge and Stanton and everything. But depending on injury, depending on how things look, I think he's a guy who you may see make an impact this year. Mm-hmm. And I think when he comes up, he's going to defensively be pretty sound. But offensively, I think he might surprise a lot of people. And he's going to be one of those guys that you don't expect much out of. He's there to defensive replacement, pinch run, and I think he'll end up having an impact on the team. But there's a guy like Anthony Garcia, stupid amounts of power from both sides of the plate. He could play right field, he could play first base. He's a guy in a couple of years that I think you can really count on. Everson Pereira could be a power hitting corner outfielder who could play center field as well. I mean, it's just depth all the way through the system is fantastic. And I said it's the third best system in the American League East, but it's really first or second best in probably any other division but the one you're in.
Right.
So be excited about this upcoming season and know that some of these guys are going to be able to contribute right away and that the Yankees are taking a really smart approach to developing them and getting them ready to make an impact in New York. If folks listening to either of our shows obviously want to follow you and follow these players as they come up in New York, what's the best way they can follow you and follow your show?
You can follow me on Twitter at StaySkotts. You can follow the show at Locked On Yankees, all one word. We don't have any underscores or anything like that. And we're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word. I post updates on there as well. I'm so sorry. If you're watching us on YouTube, something is wrong with my left eye. It's tearing right now. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Perfect. I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Farm. And you can email your questions and comments to LockedOnMLBProspects@gmail.com. If y'all want to stay tuned, tomorrow we're actually breaking down the rest of the American League of the American League East, talking about the other systems. We touched on the Orioles and the Rays, but kind of going a little more in depth with some of those prospects and how the rest of the system ranked. I figured if we did a whole show for the Yankees, we'll give the other four teams one show to go along with your entire show, because obviously you're my favorite team in the division. But until then, this has been Locked On MLB Prospects.
So I hope you enjoyed that conversation. It was good to find out some good things about the prospects that are coming up. Obviously, some of the names you already know, some of the names you may not know, and it's exciting, Yankee fans. We may have things to look forward to. Hopefully, you'll see some of these prospects as Yankees and not, in trades. We'll see. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, all those good places. And if you have a smart device, you can tell it to play podcast Locked On Bets. Locked On Bets is your one-stop shop for all your betting needs. And it's hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight. V. Sterling, again, that's Locked On. It's one more thing. If you could be so kind to rate this podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans, we'd really appreciate it. And subscribe to us on YouTube. So enjoy your Thursday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.